Well, the scripture talks about how, like in Genesis, it talks about how the Lord created the sun, moon, and the stars for a calendar, for signs, and for seasons. And the word for season is moedim, which is the festivals. So you've got seven festivals in Leviticus. We all know about Passover and those things. Jesus died on Passover, resurrected on first fruits. The church was born on Pentecost. The second coming and the rapture and those things are commemorated in the Yom Kippur ceremony and the other things in the fall. And if you look at the rituals, they teach prophecy. So that's very, very important, and possibly even the exact time or of the day of the year it would happen on. It has been fulfilled that way in the past as far as the timing of the Messiah's sacrifice. So you've got those things, and then in addition to that, other things happen. But it talks about the sun, moon, and the stars are for the Moedim, the seasons, for a calendar in general, and also for signs. And a blood moon is not necessarily a super rare event. It may happen every 20, 30 years or so, just a one-time deal. But to have it happen four times in a row on festivals. So that's extremely rare. And anytime something happens on a festival date, we should be aware of. For instance, you've probably heard of Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. It's not mentioned in scripture. It's not a festival that God set up. But you look at all the persecutions and things that started on the ninth of Av. The first and second temples were destroyed on the ninth of Av. Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple on the 9th of Av. The Jews were kicked out of England on the 9th of Av, and I believe Spain on the 9th of Av. It changes slightly. It's like Easter on our calendar. It's slightly different every year, so you have to look on a Jewish calendar. But all those things keep going. So when a war is brewing and the 9th of Av is next Wednesday, you should be nervous for next Wednesday. I mean, it's just a pattern that continues. And we should be looking for patterns, not that we should look for omens or look to astrology. That's completely different. That's Satan's counterfeit to get us, if we are wanting to look in the wrong direction. But the blood moons, it's pretty amazing. I need to go back and look at them, but they've happened about 10 times, I think, in the last 2,000 years on major events like 70 AD, 1948, 1967. Again, so it doesn't tell us exactly what's going to happen, but something is going to happen. And I've already seen people saying, like, see, it came and went, nothing happened, it's a bunch of bull, you know, this kind of stuff. And they forget that these are markers that start a series of events. When you're looking at the setup for Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Gog War, of course, Russia and Iran have made a mutual defense pact. And then a few years later, probably just a couple of years ago, I think it was, that Turkey has made a pact with them as well. That in itself is not a prophecy, but again, if anybody's attacked, they all are supposed to all come down together, and the prophecy says how they are all will be together. And so it's kind of amazing, the setup of that. Again, I'm looking for one of the next Shepherd Wars, another Lebanese war. Israel is supposed to take southern Lebanon up to Sarafan and keep it permanently. And you can understand this. I mean, they've done their best to fix a problem, give it back, fix the problem, give it back. And that's fine as long as Hezbollah has these little rockets. Now, they're very dangerous, but I mean, they don't have a guidance system worth anything. So when I send a rocket towards you and it hits all around you, and maybe if you don't move, one might hit you, that's somewhat tolerable. It's not really, and shouldn't be, because somebody's liable to get hurt. But it's somewhat tolerable. But when Hezbollah gets any kind of a guidance system where all the missiles start hitting their targets, you can't have that. At that point, it has to stop. And the reason they took part of the Golan Heights is mainly because the rockets raining down. We have to have this side of it all the way up to the top of the mountain range to make sure nobody fires rockets down or throws grenades, you know, that kind of a thing. So they're going to have to do the same thing with southern Lebanon at a certain point, unless Hezbollah, you know, repents. And of course, according to history and according to prophecy, that's not going to happen. And so those things are going to happen in the near future. Some major stuff in Gaza is going to take place. I think it's interesting how it said Gaza would be abandoned at a certain point, and then at a certain point after this next war, they control the entire coast. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that with Iran coming up. There's a lot of things that could happen in the near future. Study the scriptures for yourself. Make sure you understand, I would probably say, Romans to Jude as far as what the church should be doing, how it's supposed to do things. Don't argue with it. Just follow directions. It's not that complicated. If it is kind of complicated, then nobody knows for sure, so don't argue about it. But just go along, follow those directions. That'll make us all 90% the same. Understand the prophecies are real. Focus on the prophecies out of the minor prophets, and then a lot of the stuff from the major prophets. Get to know Daniel very, very well, and then Isaiah and Zephaniah and some of the other prophecies. There's some amazing prophecies in there. There's prophecies that are word prophecies. You've got to flip the words around. It's a riddle. There's musical prophecies, like in Habakkuk. You have to know music to be able to figure out what the points are. There's all sorts of riddles like that, and I'm just amazed at how many things that the Lord has in there. One day he's going to say, did you ever notice that one? Did you notice that one? Did you notice that one? And I'm going to say, nope. There's so many things in there. But again, focus on what the church father said was to look at the prophecies, find the ones where Israel is going to come back the second time or from all nations. And when it says, when this happens, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 will start, and know that those have either already happened in the last 50 years or will in the very near future. And then you can start focusing on these things and putting them together. And then just start telling people about them. And at first, you're going to be the nut on the street. That's always the way it happens. And as soon as they see something on TV, they're going to come back to you and say, how did you know? Are you psychic? You're going to say, no, I'm not, but I have a book, a very special book. Let me share it with you. And you're going to be able to witness to them. They're going to take it very, very seriously. And so it's very important for us, like Barnabas said, to know the prophecies and guard against things like that. And, for the people going to college, make sure that they're rooted in the idea that there is God, that God's in control. I think it's important that we expose our kids to everything. They need to know about Buddhism and Islam, and they need to know about Wicca and things like that, and see what it's supposed to do. Look at our Bible and see what it does, so that when they go to college and are exposed to this, it's going to be old hat to them. I want them to know all about drugs and how good it makes you feel, and then the next day how you are permanently destroyed. I want them to know all this. So when people are having fun, I didn't lie to them. But they also know that that's going to really mess you up. So it's important to know everything. So I would work on that. Again, the New Testament completely and the Old Testament prophecies, and go from there. I've written commentaries on Dead Sea Scrolls. Some of them contain prophecies, very interesting. Also on the ancient church fathers, their teaching on doctrine, which also goes into prophecy. If you're like me and you want to know what the apostles of the disciples taught, it's important. Anybody who was an eyewitness of Peter, Paul, Mary, James, that could tell you, well, I asked them, and this is how they explained it to me. And they're very straightforward. There's a lot of that information. They're all premillennial. It's very straightforward and easy, so it shouldn't be confusing to anybody. But the source material for that is a 10-volume work called the Antonicene Fathers. It's very dry. It's going to take you a long time to go through. It'd be like if you didn't know anything about what I taught, but you listened to every sermon that I've ever preached over the last 20 years. You could pull them all apart and figure out what I believe on the rapture and this and that and the other thing, and pretty much figure out what makes Ken tick if you did that. You could do that, or I would encourage you to do that if you really, really want to dig into stuff and take a lot of time with it. But Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History is a summary of that. He wrote Church History in 325 AD. So those would be probably the two main sources. A lot of the books that I've written have tried to just bring out all those points and show you the references, so you can get my books, read them, and then go double check them if you want to. The books on prophecy, I've written one on the rapture, one on prophecies in general, the 500 in chronological order, the church fathers, Dead Sea Scrolls, like the Book of Enoch, things like that contain prophecy, help you understand it. The old history texts, like the Book of Jasher mentioned in the Bible, doesn't have any prophecy in it at all, but it'll tell you the old words for things. So if you're not sure who Tarshish is, who Persia is, who Gog or Magog is, I still hear people saying, well, I think Gog and Magog is probably Turkey or somewhere else and not Russia. And it's like, no, no, no. The old texts, like Jasher, mentions the first six kings of Scythia and how they are Gog and Magog, and tells you exactly where they're at and who they are. Javan, you know, all the old names for Greece and all the other places, so you know when the prophecies are in Scripture, you know exactly who you're talking about. That helps a lot, too. So those are just good resources. And then get together with people that study prophecy, like you and I, and then a lot of other people. Ask questions and just learn. BibleFacts.org. You can also just look on Amazon. I sell all my stuff through Amazon. You can go to either source on that. I've got 21 books out currently on various subjects. On BibleFacts.org, we have a lot of free videos, some PDF handouts you can print out and use for studies and for churches and stuff. You can also contact me with questions or comments.